Good afternoon. Today is Monday, August 26th, 223rd day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, live from the road show, Rob Barkley.
How are you, Brian?
Oh, okay. How about yourself?
You know what? I am a little bit road hard, put away wet these days.
Well, nice to have you back in the neighborhood,
it's
however.
It's wonderful to be here.
Yeah. Something about 70 degrees feels pretty darn good today, doesn't it?
Oh, man, you have no idea. I hadn't seen a day under 78 degrees for 6 weeks, and it feels good to be here.
It's funny, all the lamenting we have about the weather.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Come over the hills, hit the fog bank, and just kind of unwind and relax.
All you do is say, oh.
So we'll do a little bit of catch-up. It's been a little bit of time since we've seen Rob, and we'll talk about whatever's on his mind.
You never know.
Well, and whatever I can kind of throw some fertilizer on when we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggie of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank, our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times 313. We're back to talk shop this afternoon with Rob Barkley. But before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from George Bernard Shaw.
Uh-oh.
Quote, I won't even use a contraction. It is dangerous to be sincere unless you're also stupid.
I like that.
There you go. Okay. Those are... Oh.
No, be careful. There were some bad ones in there.
There's plenty of choices in the old quote book.
So how about them Giants?
Yeah. Yeah, boy, didn't they fall off the ledge. Even the A's are trying to figure out how to stay on the beam.
Yeah. It's
be nice to have somebody make it postseason.
It would be, but I don't know about it. Well, we all want it for you. It's got to be.
Wow. Cross our fingers.
Boy, the Dodgers, they're a good team.
What was it, the old Yankee quote? The best team money could buy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are. But then they brought that kid in from Cuba, Puig.
Yeah.
He's a wonderful athlete.
Yeah, it's amazing. Are there natural-born entrepreneurs as there are natural-born athletes? I don't mean that derogatorily to the athletes that make it, because there's a lot of work and sweat and effort that goes in there, but they have their set of genes that God gave them that have something to work with.
They're wired.
Yeah. Doesn't matter how much you or I would really want to bust our chops, we're not going to be that all-American tight end.
Right.
Okay. Is there something parallel to that in the business community?
I actually think so. I really do think there's a God-given talent for identifying and making money. And a bunch of my friends and I have talked about that guy was a good guy. He's a moneymaker. And we actually call people that.
Almost like having blue eyes or anything, you know, any physical attribute.
Yeah. And why do you do business with these guys? Well, they're moneymakers. And it's almost like it's a characteristic.
Certainly on the different playing fields, there are different definitions of money making.
Yes.
Can you find a money maker in Mayberry RFD?
I think you probably can. I mean, you know what's interesting about this town is you've had so many just legitimate billionaires that have come from here. Red Emerson, largest landowner in the United States. Then you have Ray Park, who started back then. He sold out for $1 billion. Certainly you have who else has made a lot of money here? Well,
Tim Flynn with the airplanes.
I don't think that was...
Didn't make that to that extent?
I don't think so. He had Value Jet and it crashed and that wasn't happy. But then maybe there's... certainly Francis Carrington's done well and... Steve Gordon had a good run. Mark Carter's had a good run. We've had a lot of with Restoration Hardware and then Carter Wines. We have had a lot of entrepreneurs who've done well here. And so does the community create it? Does the neighborhood create it? I mean, I don't know what, but there's a lot of quote-unquote money makers here.
Every one of those guys that you mentioned had to leave town. Do you have to leave town?
Well,
because you left yourself out, you goofball.
Yeah, but I came back.
Yeah.
And it used to be, I had a joke, and Sherry really didn't like it, and she's right. But I used
to
say.
So now you're going
to
repeat it?
So I'll now repeat it, even though I don't hold it to be a credible argument. But the best investment in Humboldt County is a plane ticket out. Okay. But so I don't believe that to be the case. But I, you do have to leave here to make larger increments, it seems like, Bri.
But the price to play is a lot more to leave town, too.
You don't look at that when you're addicted to doing the next deal. And when you're addicted to doing the next deal and, by golly, I'm going to make it and this is going to be a good one, you don't even see what time of the day it is. You are on a manic chase.
So is it the thrill of risk? Now, some will say the thrill of the kill, you know, with the deal.
Yeah.
Is that... I mean, it is interesting that a small micro community could produce the number of people that you were alluding to.
Right.
That hit the levels that you were talking about.
But most of us who leave do so for a practical solution, reason that I want to be nationwide. This is too isolated. How can I do it besides this?
Having that vision when they left? At your really young ages?
Oh, I think so. I mean, Red didn't leave till, what was he, 55 or 60? So Ray Park left when he was young. And Steve Gordon left because he couldn't get to his multiple stores at Restoration Hardware easily. And Mark Carter left because he still has the Carter House, which is a great place. But he has the winery and the very successful winery that makes great wine down in Napa. So there are reasons everyone does things.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:19.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. It's summer and that means it's Medicat season. Since 1910, the Medicat has been plying the waters of Humboldt Bay. For years, it was one of several ferry boats taking workers from Eureka to the mills in Samoa Peninsula, and then back again at the end of the day. When the Samoa Bridge opened, the Medicat was retired, but in 1989, the Humboldt Bay Maritime Museum restored it. It now leads a busy life, showing residents and visitors all the sights along the bay every summer day until October. Medicat tours begin and end at the foot of C Street in Old Town. In the course of 90 minutes, passengers get a lively commentary on the history and lore of every corner of the bay, from the yards that built great sailing ships to today's extensive oyster-growing beds. For details about cruises, call 445-1910. That's 445-1910. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time, 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Rob Arkley. Rob, as you look at some of the different challenges that are out there and opportunities, I guess we could start local first. What is the biggest opportunity that we have in Humboldt and Delaware County? Right now, if you could go tap and figure it out, what's the number one thing that you
see? Port and rail.
Okay, I guess that's two, but there's a hyphen, so that counts as one.
Yes. This could be a slash.
Yeah. What's the biggest impediment that the area has?
Environmental lawsuits and or the Coastal Commission.
Things at the state level.
Yeah.
State regulatory.
Yes.
Okay. If we look at the state of California, what's the number one opportunity that the state of California has right now?
Besides Silicon Valley, where the brains are really starting to chug in high gear, I mean, I think we're on a development curve that's just miraculous right now. But let's assume that's not the big thing. Then the big thing is the ports.
Just the development of the West Coast.
Yes.
Ports. And what's the biggest challenge?
The development itself. In other words, the regulatory hurdles are just stifling.
Interesting you didn't say budget. At the national level, number one opportunity.
Cutting government.
Okay, number one challenge.
Cutting government. But because I think they're so entrenched. Another great opportunity that has to be 1A is our energy independence as a real live opportunity.
Now, am I mistaken, or is there some activity going on in the Midwest right now regarding the pipeline, the Keystone pipeline?
It's a segment. It doesn't get it across the border. It's a segment that is in place, basically. And so it's not, you're not going to send flares up over this thing.
Not yet.
I don't think Obama's going to do it. I mean, I don't think he's going to say
yes.
Is it
a national issue or a states' rights issue?
Well, he is going to say it crosses the border, therefore it's a national issue and it's subject to presidential discretion. This is not a president who's shied away from executive power. My God, he's not a man that's the rule of law. He's more the, I'm going to do what I want and sue me if you don't like it. So he's quite dangerous in that regard.
Since you mentioned danger, we can go national or international, but the situation in Syria with the apparent use of poisonous gas, does that open up a Pandora's box that we didn't think could be opened?
I mean, here's the deal. I think there are two choices. One, if we want to not drill in the United States and not have the Keystone Pipeline, then we need Syria. Syria is very important in that regard. But if we want to be energy independent and drill and have the Keystone Pipeline, then we don't care about Syria. So it's truly a binary issue.
Can't have both, can't have neither.
Right.
Other than on a humanitarian basis.
Well, humanitarian's always tricky. I mean, but, you know, Clinton let a million people get slaughtered in Rwanda. I mean, these sort of things happen, and they're awful, they're terrible. The question is, when do we use our might for humanitarian needs? I mean, right now, I think all of us are wincing watching Putin kind of run Obama around. Obama doesn't know what to do. He's just a bad negotiator. And John Kerry is having no more fun than Obama. So it's kind of like a mismatch.
What do your buddies at the federal level, when they see what's playing out, do they have comment? Do they scratch their head? Do they see a different chess match being played than what we're able to see because of the information that they're privy to that most of us aren't?
Well, one of my dear friends from D.C., and he's actually staying with us up at our ranch this week, it was on the Religious Rights Commission. And so he traveled internationally extensively. And so he saw what was going on. And he does have a slightly different perspective, somewhat dramatically in some areas than most of us do, because he's been on the ground. I think that's one perspective. Another perspective that people are horrified by is the ignoring of the rule of law and just kind of summary decisions being made. And so that's a different issue than what he's talking about.
Now, there was one comment that I read over the weekend that I would just say a Democratic, federally elected, federal Democrat that was elected, Congress, Senate, I don't know, who was saying that with some of these things, there's starting to be a little bit of discussion about impeachment. Are you hearing anything about that, or is this one guy just flaring off?
No serious person I've talked to has mentioned impeachment.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:30.
Choosing new furniture for your home can be a challenge. Will the colors match? Will the fabrics go well? Will it be comfortable? And will it last? Solve these questions with a visit to Vern's Furniture. Vern's Furniture Consultants have the knowledge to put the right room together for you, whether it's the living room, bedroom, dining room, or laundry room. Vern's has what you're looking for. Free delivery and so much more. Vern's Furniture in downtown Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Rob Arkley. Rob, we've talked a little bit about opportunities and impediments in the last segment, kind of blowing it out from backwater to the world.
Yeah.
What about the economy? And let's take it coming back the other direction. What about internationally? Is everybody healing now? Are they further healed along than what America is? What's the state of the global economy?
That's a great question. China continues to slow down. They've got demographic problems that are unfathomably big. And the notion that they're going to continue growing at the rate they have is all but foolish. They're no longer cheap in labor when you add in the cost of energy to transport. So jobs are moving back here. France is going to, in a year to 2 years, have a reality problem that with their economy and their budget deficit that is going to choke the euro.
Well, they've got a cultural challenge, too, in that mix, don't they?
You mean the Muslim issue or just the...
No, I wasn't thinking Muslim. I was thinking of those that have been unemployed for so long that there's a class structure now of... unemployed, and yeah. That's okay.
We're getting there.
There was
there
a
too.
Phrase it was called.
Really? They have a safety net doesn't paint the picture. It's more like a ground floor, and so that has nothing to do with a net. But France is going to be a mess. Portugal is going to need another bailout very shortly. Their banks are all broke. It is functionally just done, and there's pain and more pain coming there.
Now, what about Greece? Because that was the one that we had heard about leading in.
Well, they're going through austerity. It's no fun, but they haven't had a revolution, so they're on the right path, and the same goes for Italy.
But Portugal has opted not to go that way.
They've tried, but
they're so far in trouble.
They're so far in trouble, they still can't get their competitiveness to where it needs to be through. So the massive cuts in salaries and things like that and the necessary raise in exports just haven't happened. So they're still coining deficits and not competitive. So they're just hosed. Now, I do think that Mexico's on the right track compared to most countries. Brazil may or may not be. It's always tough to tell. They kind of are a perpetual sad story. Not quite.
Yeah.
And Japan, everyone thinks Abe is going to be able to do it. Personally, I think Japan is just out of luck. And
now, what about Korea? We haven't heard about North Korea in the last little bit. I don't know if that's good news or...
I think someone cuts them a check every time they rattle their saber loudly. Oh. But I think South Korea is doing pretty darn well. And so they've got an efficient manufacturing structure. One of these days, they're going to have to kind of do what West Germany did to East Germany and just basically bottom. Someday, North Korea is just going to basically be subsumed by South Korea. It's going to be expensive, but they'll have to do it. And so...
Certainly a challenge. Now, in America, I guess because we're so familiar with the various regional pockets, it's tough to really say. But how's America's economy doing?
Well, I think we're going to have a period, sustained period of slow growth. And the new technologies coming along will not move the needle significantly enough to spur new growth. We don't have a population bubble that's coming along that's significant enough to create great consumption demand increases. So we don't have a period of prolonged, sustained, explosive growth coming that I can divine. All of us who are adding jobs, and we're adding jobs, we're doing our best to figure out how to automate it and do it through IT and not add people. And we have we're spending a quarter of our personnel costs this year are going to go to IT rather than increased personnel, because the rate of return is 15 months and you can't beat that. It's not Obamacare. It's not any of that. It's just that on a sustained basis, the more we can automate, the better off we are. 75% of the jobs out there are really automatable from what they say, and we're certainly finding it to be the case in our business.
So it was a lack of understanding that that caused a lot of businesses to be less than efficient before the recession, or is this something that
didn't have to be, had credit, and could make it through? Now, A, they can't get credit. B, the successful businesses have just feasted on people. We've done a pretty good job of that, and so I'm pleased with how we've been able to grow during the process. We, finalized our last issue today, and so it's been a long, hard pull, but at the same time, we've been able to make it through to the other side, and the barriers to entry now are so great. I mean, when you service mortgages, you're probably in the most regulated business in the United States, between this federal, the CPFB, states, every state's got it, and cities, and even some counties have hopped into the regulating mortgage business. And it's just really difficult to do business, and it has to be automated, has to be licensed. Yeah, the bonding alone is, you have to have $6 million of cash bonding just to play. And the government has decided, Fannie and Freddie at the federal level and Ginnie have decided that there are 500 servicers and they want to get down to 100, which if you're one of the 100, it's kind of glory days. But if you're one of the 400, it sucks.
Yeah, if you're roadkill, that's not a good plan.
If you're roadkill and they tell you you're going to be roadkill. And so, it's not fun to be regulated, but when you are in the exclusive club that's regulated, it's kind of the oligopoly status. It's not all that bad.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:43. They didn't come out. Parker Brothers didn't come out with a new game, did they?
Boy, I don't know. Oligopoly.
Yeah. Okay. We'll be back with more from Rob Barkley.
No, they did it with a sawmill.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions, 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass, 7 p.m. Spanish Mass, and on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:47. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Rob Barkley. Rob, we talked about opportunities in the economy at the international level, the national level. California, can California get its act together, or is it at a constitutional crossroads?
Well, let's see. Number one, the IT world in California is going through, in my mind, a rejuvenation, and it's really getting its act together in Silicon Valley. So that produces significant revenue and significant jobs. they're crushing farmers with this water issue. This water issue is just...
Well, I don't know if you've been to the produce department lately. Yeah, there's a lot of crushing going on.
Oh, is there?
It's not just grapes, dude.
It's up, huh?
Yeah.
All I know is I'm growing some beautiful zucchini right now. And
Fine. You already got homegrown, huh?
Yeah.
It's probably organic, too, isn't it?
Define organic.
Nobody can.
But so California is getting its act together in some parts, and other parts it's not, and it hasn't even thought about addressing the pension issue. And the pension issue ought to be the only thing everyone's talking about, and it's the one thing we're not. The unions are going to, in my mind, have a really miserable next 10 years because they have broken the system. They got greedy, and they're not willing to recognize it, so now it's just going to go away.
Etch-a-sketch?
Yeah.
Start all over?
Well, you can't. We're changing a tire going 70 miles an hour. It's hard. But I don't think that in transitioning, maybe they're a property, maybe the pensions are a property right. I don't know. I don't know how you fix California's pensions now. I just don't get it.
How about locally?
I think the city of Eureka is in pretty darn good shape. I don't know what happens in the city of Arcata. The county looks to me like they're doing pretty well. I wish they'd stop these insane lawsuits against guys like, you know who I'm talking about, on the Tubi Ranch. I wish
some of the Williamson.
We've got to stop this litigation against people. It's using government on offense, and that's not. We're all afraid of government right now. So I think Humboldt County is on a good footing from what I can determine.
We're going to see storefronts full?
Boy, not until landlords reduce their rents. Landlords have to stop charging as much. I mean, I've been saying for a while that Humboldt County real estate's fundamentally overpriced. And so I'm selling into it.
But we grow weeds in the gutters like dynamite, don't we?
Beautiful weeds. Yes. Tall.
Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.